everybody. My name is Shauna, and this is the American English Podcast. My goal here is to teach you the English spoken in the United States through common expressions, pronunciation tips, and interesting cultural snippets or stories. I hope to keep this fun, useful, and interesting. Let's do it. Hi, everyone. How's it going? It's been a while since I posted the last podcast, but there's a good reason for that. I think we can all agree that the last 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, have been actually very crazy. 2 weeks ago, I never would have imagined how the world would change. Of course, you know what I'm talking about, the coronavirus. To be completely honest, I'm so sick of talking about this virus since it's been the only topic of conversation I've had with friends and family for about the last 2 weeks. However, since it's so relevant for all of us, I figured today I'll do a Chats with Shauna episode about my trip to Brazil, which got cut short because of the coronavirus, and how the shit has hit the fan during the past 2 weeks. That's right. That's an expression in English. The shit has hit the fan, or the shit hit the fan in the simple past. We use this expression when a situation gets drastically worse fast. It's similar to saying everything went downhill quickly, except it's got more oomph. Of course, it's more graphic, as you can tell, but I like it because the meaning is exactly what it sounds like. If you threw shit, excuse the language, sorry, feces or poo, whatever you want to call it, into a fan that's spinning or oscillating, it will fly everywhere. In a matter of seconds, your room, your furniture, and really anything in the vicinity will be ruined. Right? So in the past 2 weeks, it feels like the shit has hit the fan. The situation has gotten drastically worse fast. I'd like to point out that because I'm going to be talking about a recent event that's actually still going on, I'm going to be using a lot of perfect tenses. You'll hear me using the past perfect. So like, we had gone to the supermarket before we left for Brazil, right? So that is an event that happened before an event in the past, right? So the event in the past being our trip to Brazil, and the going to the supermarket event happened before that. So we use the past perfect, had gone. And you'll also hear the present perfect, right? So the situation has gotten worse. You might hear in British English, they use has got instead of gotten. Gotten is the American sort of past participle of got. So you can say gotten, right? With that good glottal stop in the middle. Got in, gotten. So yes, listen for those perfect tenses. So let's go back 2 weeks in time. If you listened to my last podcast episode about the Octomom and the bun in the oven, you probably heard me mention our family trip to Brazil. Our flight left on March 11th and was to return on March 31st. And apart from my selfish goals of wanting to eat açaí and getting a nice Brazilian manicure, the point of the trip was really to see family and to introduce our daughter Julia to all of her relatives there, especially her great-grandparents, who are alive and healthy and well into their 80s now. Before the trip, around March 8th or so, a story came out in the papers, and I say the papers, but we don't really read a newspaper here. We read it in the news, like online, but about the Grand Princess cruise ship, which was a cruise ship that was headed to Hawaii and actually made it to Hawaii, but on the way back was forced to dock off the coast of Oakland because 21 crew members had tested positive for the coronavirus. Oakland is not too far away from my house, and we heard that 3,500 other passengers on board had not been tested yet. I told Lucas if for some ridiculous reason they let all of these passengers off that boat and back out into the world, then they'll probably be flying out on the same day as us. My opinion at the time was, if they let these people out, then I will definitely want to change our travel dates. But the passengers were sent to military bases in California, Texas, and Georgia. And one of these bases was actually in my hometown in Fairfield, California, which is where some of these passengers actually still are. At the time, we did a lot of research about the spreadability of this virus, the likelihood of it being lethal, of it being contracted and then killing whoever contracts it. Back then, and I mean, this is really only 2 weeks ago, most people were saying it was similar to the flu. I even called my friend, who's an ER nurse, and she told me, you know, it is like the flu. Older people tend to be more affected by flu symptoms, and they're more likely to have very negative consequences due to them. We now know, after getting much more data about the coronavirus, that it's much worse than the flu. There was a recent podcast episode on NPR, the National Public Radio. If you haven't heard it, I definitely recommend downloading that podcast on your podcast player, just because there's news stories, there's so many different great programs on there. But anyway, there was this one program about the coronavirus in relation to the flu, and it compared them. So one aspect was that data from China shows that one individual with the coronavirus infects 2 to 2.5 other individuals. Whereas with the flu, one individual will spread it to only about 1.3 other people. So the coronavirus is much more contagious. Or much, much more contagious. Not very much more. A lot of my students used to say very much more. But much, much more. We'll just repeat that much, right, for the emphasis. It's also 10 times more lethal than the flu. So in that specific NPR episode, they said that 0.1% of people who get the flu die, whereas around 1% for the coronavirus. Anyway, much less data was known 14 days ago. Other than the boat scare in my area, very few Californians had contracted the virus at that point in time. So we flew out from Sacramento and landed in Sao Paulo on March 12th. And right when we got there, we found out that flights from Europe had been canceled. And we were shocked. If that had happened while we were in California, we probably would have canceled our trip. But of course, it happened after we had left. On March 13th, our return flight, which was to return on the 31st, was canceled. So we ended up rebooking for the 24th. Then the news reports seemed to get more serious. It started to seem like this coronavirus was really getting out of hand. Deaths were rising in Italy and around Europe. And I mean, you guys all know the story. Brazil seemed somewhat calm in comparison. We had just heard of one person on a plane that came to Sao Paulo from Italy and was found to have the coronavirus. Actually, the entire plane needed to go into quarantine for 14 days because of it, right? Quarantine is when you lock yourself up and you stay away from other people to prevent a specific disease or a virus from spreading. We rebooked our flight for March 24th, and we went about our days. Fortunately, we got to spend 8 wonderful days with family. We sat in a park. We watched the capivaras, which are called capybaras in English, but they're like giant Brazilian hamsters, I suppose. And they just kind of walk around and eat grass. They're really cool looking. Julia just kept saying, bow wow, in their direction. I think she thought they were dogs, which was pretty funny. We sat on a picnic blanket and had a picnic with some homemade orange cake and caldo de cana, which is juice from sugarcane. And then ordered some churros filled with dosa de leche, which is basically like a sort of caramel sauce made from condensed milk. It's not so common in the United States. When you see it, it'll actually probably be written in Spanish, dulce de leche. One of the things I did wrong while we were in the park was I made the mistake of wearing flip-flops and got bitten by what's called a bohashudu, and twice. Apparently, there are these little minuscule black bugs that have a sort of venom that prevents your blood from clotting so that they can drink more of it. Isn't that gross? Anyway, typical me, I had an allergic reaction to the bugs and ended up with an extremely sore foot and ankle. My ankle swelled up, or it got swollen, and yeah, turned into a cankle. We call ankles that are really fat cankles. Just kind of rude. But anyway, my sister-in-law told me maybe my blood is sweet, but I honestly don't know how nobody else was bitten after drinking sugarcane juice and having orange cake and eating churros. But anyway, shortly after our nice park day, I got more news from California. Schools in my area in Northern California, close to Sacramento, were shutting down. Restaurants were shutting down. I got a notice from the city government stating that you could no longer park your car on Main Street. For anyone who wants to order food, you need to treat Main Street like a giant drive-thru. The restaurants will bring your food out to your car, actually. Then I went on Instagram and I saw some of my friends posting empty shelves at grocery stores. People I knew were actually wearing masks at the grocery stores, and some of them even had pictures of their baskets filled with food. It looked like they were stockpiling food, right? This is when you hoard food, when you get a large quantity to keep for a later date, which is, of course, not recommended at this period of time. I was thinking, oh my gosh, this is ridiculous. Based on the news and social media, it looks like we're going through an apocalypse. I called my mom in a panic to see if she could put on a hazmat suit and go to the store to buy me some almond milk. And she's like, yeah, of course I can go to the store, but why? The shelves are fully stocked. They're filled. The store looks completely normal, minus the diminishing packs of toilet paper. And of course, I was very confused. Like, why are all my friends leading me to believe on social media that the worst has happened, that there's no food and drinks at the store, when actually, in fact, there's a lot. So anyway, but back in Brazil, we weren't able to see Julia's grandparents, great-grandparents that we wanted to see just because the risk was too high. If somehow they got sick, even not just because of us, we really would never forgive ourselves for visiting. And they understood, but it was very sad nonetheless. Some friends actually didn't want to see us either because we had traveled within the previous 14 days. But I don't want to complain too much. We still got to spend some quality time with immediate family, and Brazilian barbecue was still on the agenda. Plates were filled with rice and beans, corn cream, Brazilian potato salad, and the, of course, famous meat. Nobody went hungry because the supermarkets still had food, and nobody was stressed out because of a lack of toilet paper. So everything was fine in that area. On March 19th, we woke up to another message. Your flight on March 24th has been canceled. Then I checked my phone and saw a message from my mom from the U.S. government saying, if you are a U.S. citizen and you want to come back to the United States, come immediately. Otherwise, you might be abroad indefinitely. That was a moment we were thinking, oh, crap. We had a really strong inkling or a hunch, like a very strong feeling inside, a gut feeling, that the borders would close down to the United States. And so we tried to get the first flight back, which ended up being the longest travel day, I think, of my life. We drove from Nova Londrina, which is a very small town in Brazil, to Maringá, which is a city there, and then flew to Sao Paulo, went from Sao Paulo to New York, New York to Salt Lake City, and then Salt Lake City to Sacramento, with plans of taking an Uber home, which is, of course, five airports at a time when you really shouldn't be traveling. So a lot of disinfectant later, right? Purell, which is a brand of hand sanitizer, but sometimes we just call hand sanitizer Purell by the brand name. We're back. And now in calm, I can reflect on how each airport surprised me. First of all, Sao Paulo, while at the counter and handing in our bags, the lady got a notice saying that no more tourists from Brazil can come to the U.S. That's a big piece of news, right? So then next to us, people started being informed that they couldn't travel, and they looked utterly shocked that they wouldn't be able to leave. We were thinking, what about the people inside the airport that already went through the security checkpoint? Were they going to actually be taken back out? We really don't know. We didn't see any security guards come in, which is interesting because we think that the people who came early and checked in early for their flights actually made it to the U.S., whereas the people that showed up a little later didn't get to take the flight. Who knows? 9 hours later, we got to NYC, got off the plane, and as you probably know from the news, New York City is the hub, the center of the coronavirus in the U.S. We read online beforehand that everyone going through New York City was getting tested. In Houston, it was taking up to 7 hours to get through and 4 to 5 hours to get through JFK. So the reality is, and this is what shocked me, is that on the plane, they made us fill out forms about what activities we had done, and which apparently is required by Federal Regulation Section 71.20. But we filled out the full form and no one ever even collected it. So that was interesting. And they didn't even test us. They just let us go through. Apart from the security guards and the masks, there really just weren't very many people. The next thing that was a little bit surprising was that 5 minutes from landing in Salt Lake City, the flight attendant on the flight with us was walking by, and she stopped, and she goes to one of the other flight attendants, "All airspace travel to New York City has been suspended." So, yeah, basically their flight that they had planned on taking back to New York City was no longer being accepted in New York City. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is insane. No one else can fly into New York City. We just came from there and now it's closed, which is just crazy. And of course, she was like, how am I going to get home? Anyway, if we had taken a later flight to New York City, we wouldn't have made it back. That's for sure. So we're home now, happily, and we're quarantining for 14 days. We ended up not taking an Uber from Sacramento because apparently there aren't very many Uber drivers out there right now, and they're costing around $100 to drive a really short distance. The prices have surged. So instead, we just got my parents to drive our car to the airport and then throw us the keys from a distance. So I think that's enough about my story to Brazil. I just kind of wanted to document how insane the past 2 weeks have been. And as you can see, the shit has hit the fan. Once again, that's the present perfect. It has hit the fan. It can still be hitting the fan because things are still going on. If this was an event that was over, if it had ended already, then I could say the shit hit the fan. Like in 2009, the shit hit the fan when something happened. But it's something that's still going on, right? It's current, it's active. I use the present perfect. Anyway, I hope you all stay safe, and I hope that all of you manage to have food and toilet paper. Once again, you can always contact me at AmericanEnglishPodcast.com. And we also have an Instagram page. It's at American English Podcast. So you can follow me there if you would like to. Happy quarantine. Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of the American English Podcast. Remember, it's my goal here to not only help you improve your listening comprehension, but to show you how to speak like someone from the States. If you want to receive the full transcript for this episode, or you just want to support this podcast, make sure to sign up to premium content on AmericanEnglishPodcast.com. Thanks, and hope to see you soon.